This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 5, for the week of September 16th, 2013. I am person going home with integrity, David T. Cole, and I'm here with hidden immunity idol, Joe Reed.
I'm in a tree.
Still in the running towards becoming America's next top Sarah D. Bunting.
Smizing.
Thoughtful user of the accessory wall, Tara Ariano. And the carnal prince of darkness, Count Dracula. Blah.
Oh, no. Jesus.
So this week, the old war horse Survivor returns for season 91, episode 1 beginning this week. And so we figured we would talk about the state of reality television, I figure, which is kind of in a state of flux, I would say, considering all, maybe only for me, because all the only shows I watch are the ones that are a billion years old. And I don't seem to be picking up anything new, and I feel like that's maybe a problem.
Well, I'm interested to know what you guys think has been Survivor's secret to survival. I have found that it's, not uneven, but there's the occasional season where it's just going to be boring. You can tell very quickly that it's one of those seasons, and then you just peace out and wait for the next one. But on the whole, it's held up pretty well, given how many like fake twists and exile islands they've put in, and immunity idols, and every member of the Hance family, and people falling into campfires, plural. In my opinion, I think the fact that Probst is starting to take it way more personally and be much more of a bitch in his commentary is helping.
Giving you an antagonist as the season goes on.
But given that the challenges are like sort of hard to follow and weird and contrived, and it's basically the same social game as it was when it premiered in the summer of 2000, I guess. I'm interested to hear what you guys think makes this able to survive and other competition shows able to continue.
I feel like with Survivor, and I still watch, and I don't think I've really ever taken a season off, because even when it's bad, that's one of those shows that's sort of like, even when it's bad, there's at least some kind of thing to keep me going, whether it's somebody to root against, or I guess somebody to root for, although that's less common. And I think the strategy aspect of it keeps me in it going forward. I just think there's always just some little angle I can find on it. The actual physical competitions, you're right, are just sort of kind of played out by now, especially with all these other shows that have competitions that are more interesting on a like episode by episode basis. Whereas this is just, it's the same brawny dudes that are going to win every challenge because that's sort of how they do it. But I like the idea, especially with Survivor, now you're getting people who have watched the show for so long that like they want to make a move sometimes just to make a move, and that can be more make it more unpredictable. And I actually like the fact that they're bringing back past contestants basically every season, because it's doing that thing that I always talk about with the Real World Road Rules Challenge that I love, where it's like you've got these ongoing storylines that pass from like season to season, and it becomes very much almost like a serial drama or a soap opera, where it's just, oh, this is a grudge that goes back to like three seasons ago or when they were first on the show or whatever, and that's why this person can't trust this person, or that's why this person wants to like try and be way more strategic than necessary because they were seen as not very strategic on the original season. So that kind of stuff I think keeps specifically Survivor going for me.
And I think the appeal for the viewer is that it's something where you don't need to have a specific kind of skill to be good on it. I mean, you can win the game, going back to Sandra from when I still watched it, like you can win the game without ever having won a single challenge.
Twice.
Right. And
she won twice.
So I think that's the appeal for the viewer, is that it's easy to imagine yourself in that position. If you could put up with the deprivation aspects of it, then you can talk yourself into thinking, I would kick ass at this game, because
that's me entirely. I was like, I would kill at that game if I could spend more than 30 minutes out in nature.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Would you rather go on Survivor or Big Brother?
Well, okay. This is actually a really good question, and one I have asked myself several times.
Thank you.
Because Survivor, okay, the advantages of Survivor, if we're going to break it down, are...
We are.
Short, only 39 days or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with people who are marginally, and we're speaking relatively here.
Right.
Able to engage with you on a mental level that is far above what you're going to get on Big Brother. And that's, again, speaking relatively, and that's not saying much, but still. The downsides of Survivor are it is far more physical, and you're living in the elements, and I am unusually wussy when it comes to the elements. So let's just say that. Big Brother, you're there all fucking summer.
Yep.
And they really do seem to make an effort to find the absolute worst, dumbest, as we saw this season, most racist people, like, available. And I feel like that's one of those things where it's like, if I showed up on that show, I would run so much more of a risk of, like, actually going crazy and, like, maybe leaving or doing something where it's just like, God, I lost Big Brother. And, like, that's embarrassing because really I should have, like, run the table on it. But it's just that I was driven around the bend by these people. So I think I would probably rather go to Survivor and lose in week one.
Right.
Than go to Big Brother and, like, stick around for 2 months and still lose and end up in a mental institution.
Well, and because if you lose Survivor right away, you still go to Sequester, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that wouldn't actually be so bad.
Yeah, a friend of mine was on Survivor and went out, like, the eighth person out or whatever, and he got, like, a fantastic vacation to Costa Rica out of the whole deal. So, like, that's nice.
There's also the aspect of if you had a job, which I know you don't. I mean, in the sense of you're self-employed. I don't mean you're a shiftless loser because you're no more unemployed than me. But
I had a great day panhandling today. It was fantastic.
But if you're in the position where you have to go to your boss and say, I need a leave of absence because I'm going on a reality show. If you say, I'm going on Survivor, your boss is like, oh, cool. Versus if you go on Big Brother, your boss is like, I'm going to fire you now preemptively because chances are you're going to say some horrible things like the five people who've been fired from their jobs this season. I just read that the gay guy was the latest one to get fired from his job.
Oh, really? Excellent. Yep. Good. They're all awful.
Yes. Well, should we segue into, in general, what makes a good competition show?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably the way to go. Like, I should say, too, I got back into Project Runway this season.
Go on.
And I think part of it is because of my number one reason that makes a good reality show is it is almost always the casting.
Yes, that was, you already touched on my number one thing.
If you are casting people that I'm into, I will stick around, even if the challenges get a little repetitive or if I am annoyed with the judging. If there is somebody, like this season, his name is Braden.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. I'm super into that guy. I'm very invested in that guy. I really want him to win. So I will be sticking around for this season for that reason, if nothing else.
Why do you think it is that the Big Brother casting is so terrible? Like, it has to be intentional, but what can the intention possibly be? Like, is the point of the show really just to judge them? Am I being naive by even asking this question?
Or to drive viewers to the early show where they're being interviewed on 7-second delay?
Right.
I don't know. I'm spitball. I've never really watched the show. I'm just spitballing.
I wonder if it's because their second season was the season that sort of made that show.
Yeah.
And that was a season where they kicked off somebody for holding a knife to another person's throat.
Yes.
And, like, that was the season with Mike Boogie. And, like, that had Dr. Will, and we all loved him. But, like,
Mike Boogie.
I think they took all the lessons from, like, basically the Mike Boogie template.
Mm-hmm.
And, or, like, some of it, like, Krista, the girl who had the knife put in her throat and ended up being just, like, a terrible person in her own right. Like, I think they sort of are like, well, that's what people like to watch in summer is, and I think part of it, they probably do justify it that way. It's just like, people like to feel superior to idiots in the summertime. So, and part of it is, those are just the people you're going to get who can leave their job for a summer.
Right.
Well, it's a little sad to me, actually, that Project Runway now is so casting dependent, because it used to be a really good, it used to be a really good example of a competition show that succeeded because it focused on the work that was being done. And not that there was never drama, and not that no one cared whether Wendy Pepper was, you know, defeated by the forces of good or whatever. Mm-hmm. But watching this summer, for example, American Baking Competition, where, there was some interpersonal drama, but not really. They were all kind of rooting for each other. You were learning a lot about various baking processes. And that's what the show was focused on, was the success or failure of baked goods.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, it was baked goods. I'm in. But second of all, it really was just like, this is what we're doing and we're keeping it pretty simple. And I sort of miss that about Project Runway, which, not for nothing, has become increasingly, like, fast forwardable through various infomercials for ancillary products and lines. And it's like, just rename it Project Belk or Project L'Oreal and keep us in the sewing room looking at the sewing for a while. Because that's what I'm
actually interested in, and not so much in whatever tiny Ken tries to blow Heidi up with his mind, even though she's three times his size. Like, okay, I'm marginally interested in that because I'm nosy and a bad person, but I think that the competition shows that I'm still interested in keep the competition about whatever they're doing,
yeah,
and not so much about who they are. So,
yeah,
that I feel I feel like Drag Race is a show that keeps that balance still pretty well. Where,
yep,
I think they definitely are invested in having feuds that last the whole season, and with that show in particular, I always wonder.
Alyssa, yeah, that dragged out. They were there maybe longer than they should have been for that,
and I think they trumped that one up themselves beforehand. Yeah, and I feel like with drag, I'm more forgiving of that because the whole thing is an act anyway. So like, there are levels upon levels, but they still get into the process of drag and like the vocabulary of drag, and that stuff is still, I think, instructional, not just for me, but for like anybody watching. So
one key thing, and Runway touches on this as well, is that if the game has to be compelling and challenging without being so baroquely complicated that you could not explain it to anyone in under a minute. And I'm looking at you, Big Brother, because every season there's some new fucking twist that just makes it more complicated. Like, I remember that second season. That was the first one we ever watched.
In programming, we call it feature creep.
Yeah, but then it became like they added the power of veto, and then there was like I don't even know all the different shit that they have now. There's like America's Player.
Every season there's something.
There's some
Amazing
new thing.
Race has
like,
done that too.
Oh, ridiculous. It's
to a lesser extent, but it's like, what other driving terms can we incorporate into this to confuse matters? Like, I think it was actually pretty well built. What you need to stop doing is bunching everyone together at whatever airport.
Right. Yeah.
But I guess that can't be avoided in our post 9/11 world.
Yeah. And the other thing that, and Amazing Race at least does this, is, and Runway too, because obviously I'm now making it clear, it's my favorite competition show still, but any show where the results, obviously every reality show, the results can be manipulated, but with Runway and Amazing Race, you can't really edit them to be different than they are. You can mislead with the editing, but the garment that comes down the runway is still the garment, and whoever crosses the finish line in whatever order, that's still the order. And so for me, the shows that where skill is more important than scheming, or in the case of Race, sometimes luck, those are always better shows for me.
Well, and that's why I feel like sometimes when a reality show has a dissatisfying winner, it makes me like it a little bit more, because I know that they're not just ginning up the results.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To satisfy an audience. And Survivor's actually pretty good at that. They got into it a little bit where a few seasons where you could tell they were like, they wanted Russell Hantz to find as many immunity idols as possible and like to keep him in the show. And they would like put the immunity idol back in the field after it was used, so maybe this person who always finds them will find it again. But generally, that's a show where they can build up in someone and build up someone, and then they get eliminated like sixth till the end, and they're fine because it's like, that's the result. That's just how it went. That's whatever. And I like that.
I'm not big on reality shows, but one good thing to keep in mind to maintain quality is not to give the ultimate decision about who stays and who goes to the American public.
Yes.
Yes.
Because they tend to vote out people that make the show interesting, because people that make the show interesting are usually snakes, such as Richard Hatch. You imagine if Survivor 1 had an America Votes aspect of it. There's no way he would have won, but he was like, you know, for all his faults as a human being, he was the most compelling like character on the show.
Well, that was the lesson of Big Brother season 1 that nobody liked and nobody watched, because America got to vote and they voted out all of the people with even a little bit of interest to them because they were mean or they were sneaky or whatever. And it was just, it was a mess.
It was one of the lessons of the hero. No, I am not going to let that drop.
Oh, started so promising, and then it just fell off a cliff.
Really,
and that was a huge reason why it did too.
Well, that, and it felt like they were making up the game as they went along.
It did.
Because at first it was like, it's not an elimination game. And they were psych, it is.
Yeah. If everybody could have made it to the end of that game, that would have been interesting, because again, you know, you had Sean, the former wrestler, who was kind of Richard Hatchian, you know, in his approach to the game.
Yeah.
And he was in it for himself, and he took money instead of putting it into the pool. And he was made it interesting when he left. It was a lot less interesting.
Yeah. And then once Charles sort of fell on his sword, I mean, whatever, I ranted about this repeatedly on previously TV, I won't get into it, but equating taking money just for its own sake as the opposite of heroism was like,
I kind of keep waiting for reality shows to have a moment like advertising did about 5-6 years ago. You remember like when you read all the articles about, whatever the current generation of youths was back then, which is like, don't sell us advertising with advertising, you can't sell me with ads. You got to have the anti-ad, and that sort of thing. And I'm kind of waiting for that sort of thing to happen with reality television where people say, I think probably most people know it's engineered in one way or the other, but just to say like, we want a more honest, closer to the bone style of show because it's usually more compelling. And like Survivor is probably in one of the least manipulated shows. I mean, there are obstacle course challenges and there are the social mechanics of the game, and that's pretty much it. Now, the producers can choose challenges that favor people, and they could, as you say, put immunity idols next to people's sleeping bags or whatever they're doing. But And to say that that is one of the truer reality show systems is kind of funny, right? Even though it's probably still heavy manipulated. If they can pull back on that, and I'm kind of just waiting for people to demand more of that, but it doesn't really seem to be happening.
Well, that's what you get with Big Brother. And I don't think that most of the people that watch it on TV actually watch the feeds or even read like the recaps of the feeds.
I don't mean it in the sense that reality TV, by having the word reality in it, needs to be just cinema
like surveillance cameras.
Yeah, exactly. Right. What I mean is I'm just waiting for a reality show that is less dressed up and less obviously produced and less story edited, and that might mean a longer shoot and more editing. And some, that means more expense. So probably it's never going to happen, but you never know,
Right.
But I don't think people are demanding it. So I'm just kind of waiting for that shoe to drop, but I don't know if it ever will.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this worse than jazz?
I swear to God, that drop gets longer every time we hear it. Just like maybe imperceptibly so, but like definitely. It's one of those, it's like that horror movie where like the inside of the house is bigger than the outside of the house. Like it just keeps expanding and expanding. This week, the candidate for being worse than jazz, I am saying, is the concept of the bro show, which if you are following the new sitcoms for fall, we've got two of them, it looks like. One for CBS and one for Fox, both of them which should be streaming online by the time you listen to this. The CBS one is called We Are Men, which really is not even trying to sneak it past you that you're getting a bro show. It's putting it right out on Front Street. The Fox one is called Dads. The Fox one I find slightly less interesting just because it's the long clamored for pairing of Seth Green and Giovanni Ribisi at long last, with Dads played by Peter Riegert and someone help me out.
Martin Mull.
Oh, poor Martin Mull.
All under the direction of one Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. So, and it's whatever. It's disgusting guys have disgusting dads and everybody's somehow living together or something. And they are making horrible racist Harajuku jokes about their Asian employees and whatever. Both of these shows, by the way, rely heavily on the concept that gross old dad types fetishize young Asian women, which was played out probably like 5 or 6 years ago, I feel like, as a joke, and yet we're still going for it. And they somehow both managed to make the butt of the joke the women and not the men.
Oh, of course.
That's...
What else?
Super classy. So the plot of We Are Men is four multiple divorcees, I believe, or whatever, flee. The younger ones are sort of fleeing from broken marriages. Jerry O'Connell and Tony Shalhoub play people who have been divorced multiple times. And they're all living in this sort of like singles community, which also feels like a relic from like the 80s.
Yeah.
These sort of like, whatever, you're living in Fuck City. Like that kind
I sleep
of thing.
In a race car.
Yeah, exactly. But the jokes are basically the same. It's women won't let me play my video games, and women are bloated and on their period when I want to have sex with them, and they won't let you watch basketball or be a basketball coach as a career or whatever. And it's just, I feel like we've gotten so many of them in the last 3 years. It's not just these two shows, and it's not just the fact that they're bad shows. It's just that it's this kind of tidal wave trend where TV seems to be looking at the balkanization of the audience and feeling like, well, now that everything's sort of like separated and compartmentalized, now we can get all the dissatisfied men in one place and watch, for example, Guys with Kids last year on NBC, or Work It 2 years ago on ABC, which
or
was the
Last
update
Man Standing,
of Bosom Buddies.
Which returned somehow.
Last Man Standing, which has been the one to sort of survive, or ABC had something called Man Up, which I feel like was only about guys playing video games on their couches and complaining about their wives in real time. I don't know. That very well might have been, because I didn't watch a second of that one.
I think I watched the pilot, and I believe the premise of that one was they're not manly enough.
Oh, that's the other side of that coin.
They're not functional
that's true.
As men. They need to man up. They're wussy. Right. They're scared of spiders, etc.
I feel like there's another one where it's like How to Be a Man in America or something.
Well, there was
like
How
that.
To Be a Gentleman, which also got canceled. That was
that's
the Kevin Dillon.
And what's the one with Ron Eldard and Rob Schneider, I'm going to say? This is going back.
Men Behaving Badly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was one of the failed, it wasn't a failed must-see TV show because
that
I remember researching all of those.
That was practically fourth wave feminism compared to some of this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like, well, the other thing is because like these sort of feel like this oppressive block of just failed experiments every year and whatever, and they all end up failing except for, like I said, Last Man Standing, but, so that's fine. But I'm trying to sort of parse out what makes these things so objectable, while something like The League, for example, which is not my thing, and I grant that, but like a lot of people like it, and
I like it.
And what makes that different and better? Because the concept is still kind of like bros in a fantasy football league or whatever, but it's the tone, right? It's just sort of
Well, it's actually funny.
That helps, yeah.
And it's also, what's the expression that if you write something very specific, then it becomes universal, but if you try to be too universal, then it doesn't appeal to anyone?
Yeah.
I feel like The League is a good example of that, that it is a pretty niche world that they're portraying. And although I happen to be in a fantasy football league and take it way too seriously and get in fights with my brother-in-law about it, I think it still speaks to people who aren't or who don't like sports, because it's funny and it has something to say about the way that people relate to each other.
Yeah.
And it does seem like actual like male people that you might know, even though some of them are extremely weird.
And even
whereas
and for,
these are like so everyone's so generic. It's not just the sexism and the like, you know, women have no sense of humor and, you know, they're always telling us what to do. Boo hoo.
Yeah.
It's like there's probably a way to make that funny or say something new or be specific, but it's just like kind of bad, vague writing and characterization, I would say, that sets The League. That means The League is so much better because it's really sharp and.
Yeah.
Thoughtful.
And
so,
everyone takes turns being the butt of the joke. And there's like one of them is a woman and she's as gross as them. And sometimes they make fun of her for lady things. And sometimes most of the time they're making fun of Andre for Andre things. So
right.
I think that helps that it's, you know, the abuse gets spread around. It's not always that dumb women are ruining everyone's fun.
And she's not made fun of all the time for like lady things.
No.
Sometimes it's for bro things that she screwed up, which is like, thank you.
Yeah. I feel like the thing that's worse is the idea that someone feels like there is a market that needs to be catered to with this.
I'm
that
just
was
wondering
my
if
my next question.
Yeah.
Who is
if
this
douchebags
for?
Are like that
right.
watch these shows and enjoy them.
Men
spend
cave
money
TV.
Freely.
What?
I bet they
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
I bet they don't have a 401k. I bet they're like money in, money out, and that's
right.
the kind of person you want. So I wouldn't be surprised if these shows are just demographically engineered to appeal to people with high cash flow.
We should track all the ads and see how much of it is like
Axe,
KFC, Axe. I was totally going to say Axe body spray.
Yeah, Bud Light, Lime.
that weird razor for the with the chest hair settings. Yeah. They've been advertising that during baseball games. I
do like Bud Light Lime, I should say. I shouldn't laugh too much at that, but anyway.
That's good shit.
All right, well, worse than jazz?
Eventually a bro show ends. I'm going to say it's not worse than jazz.
I agree. Bro, none of these bro, the thing that they all have in common other than Two and a Half Men is they don't tend to last.
Yeah.
That is true. And jazz does somehow, even though we all are aware how terrible jazz is, yet somehow it has not been canceled.
I blame France.
Jazz endures.
Oh!
Hello! Is this thing on? Hi, I'm Dracula. I've come here to promote new NBC show. Blah.
Count on count.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Extra Hot Great Gang. I'm very happy to be here. I hope you've seen pilot to new show.
No.
Oh, let me tell you about it. Exciting. Uh-huh. Dracula is back.
Back.
But here's the thing. In this one, I'm not going around being evil and biting people. No. Not this time.
What are you doing?
This time, I'm manipulating stock market. That's true. My friend, the Count from Sesame Street, comes to me. Oh, excuse me. Oh, I ate a clown earlier and he gives me the giggles. In this one, I pretend I a vampire, but more I am industrialist. I make light bulbs to put oil industry out of business and take revenge on Order of Dragon. It's a good show. Sounds good, yes?
Eh.
It's for people in the middle of Venn diagram between people who love vampires and people who love stock markets. And guess what? Guess who's on my side this time? Van Helsing is going to be good. Any questions for Dracula? About nope. Dracula coming soon.
How's
on
the
NBC?
Romance factor, Dracula?
I'm too busy manipulating stock markets. Have to take revenge, and the only way a vampire knows how to take revenge is through stock market manipulation. What a silly question.
Markets go up and down and up and down. Nothing? Well.
It's time for the canon. What do we got this week, Tara?
Well, this week, because our main topic was reality competitions before we had that sideline into Dracula, which, by the way, premieres October 25th on NBC.
Blah.
And because in our last first test episode, I presented a canon that did not go through, I really had to think hard about, first of all, a reality competition show that might be canon worthy, and second, which one would possibly win over as many viewers or as many listeners, as many voters as I possibly
would. Oh, do I get the vote?
You don't get to vote.
Oh, stay out of this, Dracula.
I'm sad.
Sorry, Dracula.
Back in your hole.
Oh, sun's up. Gotta go. Bye, guys.
All right. So I wanted to stay on theme with regard to the canon, which is hard for me in any given season of reality competition I watch. Whoever I like best is the greatest contestant of all time until the next season starts and the last cast fades out of my memory, like Marty McFly in his family photo. And mm-hmm. It's the same with the ones I hate, except for you, Dick from Big Brother. But as I flicked through my mental Rolodex of most memorable, most series-defining episodes of reality competition shows, it didn't take long for one to present itself as the strongest contender for canon victory. America's Next Top Model, Cycle 4, Episode 7. The girl who pushes Tyra over the edge. After the usual rehashing of the last judging panel, Rebecca was in the bottom two and needs to step it up to prove to the judges that she has the capacity to be sexy and edgy and that she is progressing. And by the way, did she mention she has a fiance named Todd back in Minnesota? Because she does. The girls go out to dinner.
We're going out to dinner tonight to the famous restaurant Dolce, which Ashton Kutcher owns.
Wow. I like this. It's simple.
I grew up in, like, the hood. So this whole experience is totally different from anything I've ever been in my whole life.
We have the tuna chow chow. And then we have calamari, fried sauce.
Okay, I'm going to try something. Kanan, what is this?
That's tuna tartare.
It's raw.
Kanan, raw what?
Exactly.
It's tuna.
Remember the early aughts when celebrities showed their status by owning restaurants for a while?
Ugh.
Anyway, Tiffany, who we heard saying that she's culture shocked, is a country mouse and feels self-conscious. So the next day, the girls all put on their flared leg hip huggers and go for their teach at a suburban playhouse, which means acting. Acting teacher slash dialect coach Larry Moss reminds them that models are sometimes called on to be spokespersons, which is true. With that in mind, Larry's going to teach them a Cockney accent, like the ones we hear in ads for Tresemme and Lactaid every day. Tiffany notes that the other girl's enunciation is clearer than hers and that this will be a real challenge for her. So back at the loft, after they've had their crash course, the girls try to learn the lines in the My Fair Lady ripoff script they've all been given. Though Michelle tries to help Tiffany with her accent, which Tiffany should politely decline, but anyway, Tiffany announces that she quits, then goes just quits this, the practice, and goes to the phone room for a restorative call with her grandmother, which allows the editors an opportunity to remind us of Tiffany's audition for the show, her second, after getting into a physical fight during the auditions the previous cycle, and her touching backstory.
My grandmother, she ain't got no money, but the last time I was here, they said that I needed two bathing suits. So my grandmother let the lights go off so that I could come here and have a bathing suit. She's wonderful.
Yeah, she sounds amazing.
Tiffany's grandmother on the phone tells her to do her best and be herself, which I guess is okay advice. The next day, the girls go back to the playhouse for their challenge and learn that their scene partner will be former model slash current TV dreamboat Boris Kodjo, so everyone freaks out about how hot he is. No one is that great in the challenge. Michelle still thinks she's the shit for reasons unknown.
Oh, well, hello there, Governor. Lovely day, isn't it?
Haven't noticed.
Haven't noticed?
The other girls, they've been winning challenges, and it's like, finally, this is something that, you know, I could possibly win.
A real live fashion model. Well, I never.
I rocked it. I just felt amazing.
This show never has music not playing underneath it, except nope. For like the very end of the show.
And Tiffany, when it comes to her turn, does not really try at all.
I say flowers for sale. Well, hello there, Governor.
Tiffany was a Southern girl from a plantation down in Alabama.
Well, the sun's shining, the stars sparkling blue.
She was in her own movie.
Trouble and Strife.
I'm sitting there looking at Boris. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him like, hey, Boris, go with the next line. He didn't try to help me out a little bit. He kept looking at me. I'm really embarrassed. But, you know, I don't care about missing tests. So I just laughed it off.
So Naima wins the challenge, takes Tatiana and Michelle with her to share a total of $10,000 worth of very tacky diamond jewelry. At the loft, Rebecca continues feeling pre-defeated and calls her fiancé Todd for strength because I forget if I already missaid this, but she's engaged. There's Tyra mail involving something with feathers. At the location the next day, Jade Manuel tells them they're going to be modeling opposite a male model named, I think, Rib?
Yeah, ooh.
Rib?
Yeah. Rib, I think is his name.
Or Rid.
He used to be on General Hospital, so yeah, that is his name.
Oh my God, for real?
Oh my God. Actually, no. Not General Hospital, the General Hospital spinoff called Port Charles.
Oh
yes.
Boy.
The General Hospital spinoff called Rib.
Is his last name for your pleasure?
So they'll be having a fake pillow fight while wearing their wonder bras and matching panties, as you do. Kaylin's nervous because she's never had a boyfriend. Rebecca's nervous about faking intimacy with a man other than Todd, the fiancé back home to whom she is engaged.
She's engaged?
After the shoot, Tiffany talks to Kenya about her insecurities, which presents us with another flashback opportunity as past Tyra bucks up past Tiffany.
My grandma kept telling me, you are America's Next Top Model. I'm like, come on, you ain't gonna pick me to get up. Come on.
I don't really fit in here.
A lot of it is fear of something that's different, fear of something that you're not, like, used to. You're getting judged on the transformation in your photos and with who you are as a person.
Just like how Tiffany was scared of the tuna tartare, you guys. Kenya reminds Tiffany that she was picked to be on the show for a reason. Then we are at panel. Before the judging, there is a mini challenge, which they used to do. I don't know if they still do. The girls each take turns reading copy off a teleprompter, and of course the text is loaded with gotchas like Hermes, Giselle Bundchen, and Magenta. No one exactly covers herself with glory, but eventually everyone gamely tries it out and or goofs her way through it, except guess who?
Hi, I'm Tiffany. It's Fashion Week in Paris.
Can you? I can't do this.
Yes, you can. Keep going.
I can't.
Why? If you don't do this, you're gonna go home. Tiffany, the other girls did not know these words.
Magneta?
Chart?
Treat?
Who cares? They're just words. Have fun.
It's pronounced rib.
Hi, I'm Tiffany here with ANTM TV. It's Fashion Week in Paris. Can you say magnetic?
Just keep going.
Charismatic, solid gold, and shocking pink. Wow, tipsy top models. Oh my God, this is hard. Okay, tipsy top models, Tiffany Kenya, and some other girls hanging with Tyra herself. Back to you, Tyra. Oh my God. This is humiliating. More and more each week.
You don't have the benefit of seeing the video on this podcast, but there would be a word she didn't know how to understand, and she would just pick another word that started with the same letter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, it would be chartreuse, and she would say, well, it's cauliflower.
Yes, that's like how, that's how beginner readers read sometimes.
I don't think she was a beginner reader.
Well.
I mean, chartreuse is, you know, not the easiest word.
No, I know. But she was just trying to
she was far from the only one who went with Magneto.
True.
Different show.
There are photo critiques, and no one's is especially notable except guess who's. Janice calls Tiffany out for the closing "this is so humiliating" thing we just heard, and adds,
"I'm not done. You look great, but with that attitude, Miss Thing,
Yeah, you're very beautiful, so there's nothing you should hide. You know, you should come out and be just glowing.
I can't sit here and say, do it, do it. Do you want to go home? You have to hear that inside of your head, because in the real world, people are going to be like, next and not care."
There is judging and then the distribution of photos. Tiffany and Rebecca are in the bottom two, and in a surprise move, Tyra reveals that the last photo in her hand is blank, and then they're both going home. Rebecca and Tiffany go over to the remaining girls for hugs and goodbyes.
Cheer up, waterheads. Looking all sad.
Come on.
Good luck.
Come on.
Oh, girl, you gotta stop.
Breaking my back.
Okay, to any of us normal people watching, this is obviously Tiffany trying to put on some bravado and leave with some dignity, but as that music sting indicates, Tyra does not interpret Tiffany's behavior the same way. She calls Rebecca and Tiffany back to the shame spot on the carpet, where she tells Rebecca that she can tell from the fact that Rebecca's crying that she feels really bad about getting eliminated. Not so Tiffany. And this takes us into the moment which, if you remember this episode, is why you remember this episode.
Tiffany, I'm extremely disappointed in you. This is a joke to you. You've been through anger management. You've been through your grandmother getting her lights turned off to buy you a swimsuit for this competition. And you go over there and you joke and you laugh. This is serious to these girls. And this should be serious to you.
Looks can be deceiving. I'm hurt. I am. But I can't change it, Tyra. I've been...
Yes, you can.
No, you can't change what?
I'm sick of crying about stuff that I cannot change. I'm sick of being disappointed. I'm sick of all of it. I'm not.
You're not sick of being disappointed,
yes,
Tiffany.
Obviously, I am.
No, you're not. If you were sick of being disappointed, you would stand up and you would take control of your destiny. Do you know that you had a possibility to win? Do you know that all of America is rooting for you? Do you know that? And then you come in here and you treat this like a joke? You come in here and look at that and say, I can't read that. You read 10 times better than half of those girls over there.
You did. You did.
And you come in here with a defeatist attitude. I don't have a bad attitude. Maybe I am angry inside. I've been through stuff, so I'm angry. Yes, but it's not, this is not, be okay, quiet, but Tiffany. Everybody, be quiet! Listen. That's what is wrong with you.
Act, but you're not.
Stop it! I have never in my life yelled at a girl like this. When my mother yells at this, it's because she loves me. I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you? Learn something from this. You go to bed at night, you lay there, and you take responsibility for yourself. Because nobody's going to take responsibility for you. You roll in your eyes and you act like this because you've heard it all before. You've heard it all before. You don't know where the hell I come from. You have no idea what I've been through. But I'm not a victim. I grow from it and I learn. Take responsibility for yourself.
The thing about top model... And really about any competition show where the outcome is determined not by math, as in the vote counts on Survivor or Big Brother, or time, crossing the finish line on The Amazing Race, but by the subjective whims of judges, is that the supposedly ironclad rules governing what will determine one's success in the game actually change from week to week. On The Apprentice, you have to look out for yourself, except when you need to demonstrate that you can be a team player. On Project Runway, you need to show versatility, except when you need to define your signature style. And on Top Model, you need to be able to sell swimwear when you're standing in frigid water, except when you need to stand up for yourself and look after your personal and professional interests, viz. Not freezing to death. Tyra's reaction here strikes me as the same kind of bullshit. The panel had just finished telling Tiffany to be herself and have fun with the teleprompter, even if she fucked it up, and here Tiffany is trying to be herself and raise the morose tone of the room by making completely innocuous jokes about the situation, and she gets two barrels of Tyra Banks crazy for her troubles. And so part of what may be going on here, I think, is related to the background that this episode and the season remind us that Tiffany comes from. When she washed out of the auditions in the previous cycle, it's because she was pushed into a bad situation and felt that in order to save face, she had to fight her way out. Here, the judges get frustrated by Tiffany's unwillingness to throw her all into challenges and that she thinks are going to make her look foolish. Goofing around, knowing the result might be public failure, doesn't seem like something that Tiffany would have ever learned is okay sometimes. And I also think there's a lot of material here for a psychologist to dig into in terms of Tyra taking Tiffany's attitude, especially personally, because she sees so much of her own background in Tiffany, and that there's maybe a question of racial identity at play that Tyra would have so loved to have had the opportunity she thinks Tiffany's insufficiently grateful for, and that's that Tiffany is letting down her community. But since I am so white, I'm practically clear. That's all I feel qualified to say about it. In fact, even that is probably too much. So my point here is that there's more underlying Tyra's freakout than just Tyra's freakout. And when you scratch the surface a little, it makes the moment more significant and pivotal for the whole series. But honestly, even if you don't go along with me on the layers that might be underneath Tyra's temper tantrum, the tantrum alone is still fucking great. So with that, Tiffany and Rebecca are finally dismissed, whereupon we get to hear Rebecca's perspective.
She's angry because she thinks Tiffany hasn't changed, and that she takes this as a joke, and that everyone wants it so bad for her, but she doesn't even want it for herself.
I'm not finna break down for you and nobody else. You ain't did me, but bring me here and put me through hell these weeks.
I think Tyra might be really right about that.
As we used to say on Television Without Pity, leave the recapping to the professionals. Tiffany gets one last chance to speak for herself. She says Tyra was right and that the only reason she hadn't quit sooner was that she didn't want to let down her grandmother. And don't worry about Rebecca. This experience has taught her what really matters.
Not everyone can say they've done this, and I can put that the check mark next to it. I'm walking away here knowing a lot more about the business and especially about myself and what my priorities are. Family is number one. I'm going home to get married.
Barf. I mean, I wish you joy. I know we seldom consider reality shows when it comes to the makeup of the canon, but if we consider the canon to be the repository for the quintessential, unmissable, most iconic, most memorable, most important episodes of any given series, I feel like the girl who pushes Tyra Banks over the edge and into a valley of insanity qualifies, and I ask that you vote yay.
Very good. I had not watched this episode since it first aired. I believe that I copy edited the recap of that for Television Without Pity, in which there was an impressive block of caps lock within. I had forgotten just how uncomfortable this was, and also how I recently came back to Top Model after several cycles off. The show got dumped onto Fridays from Wednesdays and I think saw an opportunity to totally reinvent itself. And someone may have had a word with herself about taking herself a bit less seriously and not being quite so, I am mentor and savior to a generation of young women, because that was part of what drove me away, that she takes herself extremely seriously, no sense of humor. And this was like the nadir. Yeah. Of that to me, because she has an orange weave. The visual there. And then apparently no concept of the idea that Tiffany might be joking at that moment because she's uncomfortable. She's trying to lighten up the room, and that this is someone who isn't emotionally equipped to deal with this situation.
Yeah.
But with that said, it's fantastic TV. This is before Janice Dickinson completely lost the plot. I thought she had good input.
I miss Janice so much.
and she has no upper lip moment was really awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was really well, like you could sense the rage building. Like it started as impatience and then it was anger. And then it was just she could not. And then if you watch the panel in the background, it's classic. They're like, why can't we crawl under this table? It's too low. Help us. I think it's a fantastic example of competition TV at its best in terms of both the competition and kind of seeing how the tapestry is knotted in the back.
Yeah.
Joe?
Tara, like you said, it's that moment specifically is the show at its most notorious / best. And it's basically an artifact of television that people will be talking about for a long time still, I think. And which is as sad as that is, it's true. Like,
yeah.
Try and call me a liar for that. But I think the other thing that's really interesting, and I feel like I had forgotten how much of this actually shows up in the episode, but it's a really interesting commentary on like making reality TV as it goes along.
Yeah.
Whereas you really, really could tell, and I can't remember whether I've heard this as like rumors or whether this is just what I'm reading into it, but that Tiffany was the girl that was pegged to win that season.
Mm-hmm.
Like clearly, like that was the girl with the narrative and like, and I think,
cheekbones.
I think a lot of that anger from Tyra isn't only what's happening that specific challenge where Tiffany just sort of like is giving up all the time, but that she's giving up and fucking up Tyra's plans for how the season should go.
Yeah.
I would agree with that assessment.
And all of a sudden, you know, there's just this, because like, that's where this rage comes from. It's just like, Tiffany's not playing ball. Tiffany's not giving the TV that we want her to give. Tiffany's not the girl who, you know, fought some bitch for pouring beer in her weave like the year before.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the other fascinating thing is that during all of this freak out over Tiffany, Tyra missed the forest for the trees, and that I'm fairly certain Rebecca is the only one of that cast to have gotten like actual modeling gigs after the series. Like she was by far the most successful as a model after, which I mean, whatever, like this show, everything, all of the criteria, like you said, it's totally arbitrary. So she wasn't doing X, Y, and Z things that the show wanted them to do correctly. But I think you see that a lot where the girls with the narratives beat the girls with actual potential.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that drove me away from the show, which is just that it was so, so, so determined in how it was going to go that people with actual, like, to my eye, like, oh yeah, obviously that person's a better model than this person, because A person is, you know, 6'1",
right,
and B person is 5'2".
Yeah.
And, but whatever, like, that's all the intricacies of the modeling industry is none of my concern, even for this episode. So I think ultimately, I mean, it's all in that line where Tiffany's like, this is humiliating me more and more each week. And it's just like really sort of pulled back the curtain on some people. A, aren't going to play ball with the reality show even after they've been cast on it and even after they, you know, seemingly are on the path towards victory. That's what Tyra was like. Did you know that you had a possibility to win? I feel like that's what Tyra was saying. Was like, don't you know we were going to give this to you, you dumb idiot? Like,
why is your devotion insufficiently slavish?
Exactly.
That's why I kind of was like, I can't with this. Like, she is giving some of these women a pretty good opportunity to change their lives, but the fact that every 5 minutes there's a pause so that we can all congratulate Tyra for doing that was like, I don't.
Well, and there's just some people who just aren't going to, like, as they get into it, it's just like, well, there's one type of person who's going to pick up on the nonverbal cues and sort of go along to get along, and there are some people who are just like, fuck this, I feel like an idiot, I'm leaving. Like, and I give Tiffany credit for that. I give Tiffany, like, that's the kind of reality TV exit I like, is when you're not a big sobbing mess and just sort of like putting on a brave face. I don't know. So yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing episode.
Dracula, what do you think?
We knew that was coming.
Yeah. This is an interesting moment in an otherwise pretty boring show. That's my take on it.
Fair enough.
All right. So shall we vote?
Sure.
I say no. Joe?
I'll say yes.
And
I will,
Sarah?
Also say yes.
Yeah!
Wow.
Screw you, Dave.
Fuck me.
You too, Dracula.
America's Next Top Model, Season 4, Episode 7, The Girl Who Pushed Tara Too Far?
Pushed Tyra Too Far.
Oh, right, yeah. And Dave Too Far. You're not hurried by... Oh.
Jeez.
I'm back.
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
It's time for Winner and Loser of the Week. And Tara, you have our winner.
Our winner is Carson Daly, who's joining the cast of the Today Show, because why not? He already hosts The Voice and Last Call with Carson Daly. And apparently, as part of his duties, he will be... Where I looked this up was on USA Today, and the subhead is, he'll be launching something called The Orange Room, which seems mean. Yet awesome. But apparently the Orange Room is a social media area where viewers can contact him. So if that's what's been missing from your TV experience,
gross.
Thank Carson Daly for being there for you.
Oh, Rasputin.
And our loser?
The loser of the week is the Survivor viewership for two reasons. One of the many Rube Goldbergian aspects of gameplay from seasons past, Redemption Island, has returned. It's a seldom interesting sideshow that's mostly an insurance thumb on the scale of the production's pets, including reason number two, Rupert Bonham is back again.
Rupert.
I hate that tie-dyed pirate fuck, and I hope he's voted out immediately. The end.
Agree.
Do you know what time it is?
It's game time.
It's game time. Oh, my game time right now. All right. It is the fifth game time of the season. Tara and Joe tied at the top with two. Sarah still looking to put a point on the board. This week we are playing A Boy Named Pseudonym with questions from Jimmy Kazam, who earns himself an extra credit for this quiz. Also thanks to the Extra Hot Great Assist team who helped supersize today's game time. So buckle in. It's going to be a long one. It's going to test your knowledge. In this game, I will read you the name of a TV character pseudonym. Mm-hmm. You tell me the character's real name for 1 point and the TV show for another point.
Okay.
All right. That's all there is to it. It's pretty simple. All right. We will now engage our person in control choosing initiative computer system, Picky 3000, to see who will start.
We will start with Tara.
All right. We are starting with Tara.
Who?
Are
seriously
the computer doesn't know. Sorry, Tara.
A dick.
Well, it doesn't know how to pronounce your name properly.
Rude.
Are you ready to play?
Yes.
A Boy Named Pseudonym.
Yes.
Here we go.
Sure.
Mrs. Featherbottom, character and TV show.
Tobias Funke, Arrested Development.
Correct. And by the way, these are going to go quick. I'm not going to give you a lot of time on these.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to
Joe,
Mr. Snrub.
Mr. Snrub is Montgomery Burns, C. Montgomery Burns on The Simpsons.
Correct for 2 points. Sarah.
Yes.
Reek.
Reek. Reek.
Yep.
Rick on Beverly Hills 90210.
Incorrect. That's Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Tara.
Yeah.
Kate Jones / Joanna Kelly / Julia Thorne.
Don't know.
That's Sydney Bristow from Alias. Some of her aliases from Alias.
Okay.
Joe.
Yes.
Emily Thorne.
Amanda. Fuck.
Hug and kiss?
Amanda Clark on Revenge.
Correct for 2 points.
Nice.
Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Master Billy Quizboy.
Master Billy Quiz Boy. I don't know.
That's William Wallen from The Venture Brothers. Tara.
Yep.
Professor Chaos.
It's from Venture Brothers.
Nope. Incorrect. Kay. That's Butters from
no!
South Park.
No! Rip.
Joe.
Yes.
Titty Kaka.
Oh, I feel like I should know this.
You might.
Oh, it sounds familiar.
Oh, shit.
Absolutely Fabulous is the show.
Yeah, that's correct. We'll give you that point. 1 point, and the character was Sarah.
Okay.
Sarah, the person, Quinn Perkins.
Quinn Perkins. I don't remember her actual name. She's on Scandal.
Correct.
Oh, boy.
Lindsay Dwyer.
All right.
Oh, whatever.
Tara.
Yeah.
Boner.
Stabone. It's his last name.
Good enough.
From Growing Pains.
Correct. Joe.
Yes.
Dan D.B. Cooper. Dan D.B. Cooper is a pseudonym for what character and what show?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Jimmy James, News Radio.
Oh, really?
Jimmy James. I was going to guess Prison Break.
Jimmy.
Oh, well.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bubbles.
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 Oh, he's on the wire.
Whoops.
He is on the wire.
He's on the wire. My bad. Sorry.
I marked that correctly, Sarah.
And his real name is B.U. Blaise? No?
His real name is Reginald Cousins.
Oh, right.
Oh, of course.
Tara.
Yeah.
Princess Reg. Consuela Banana Hammock.
Phoebe Buffay.
Yep.
From Friends.
2 points. Joe.
Yes.
Dr. Van Nostrand.
Dr. Van Nostrand, Seinfeld, and that's Cosmo Kramer.
2 points.
Nice.
Sarah.
Yep.
Stefan Urkel.
Urkel from Family Matters.
2 points. All right. And let's go to a score break.
Sarah has 4. I have 6. Joe has 7.
All right. And now we're back to Tara.
Yep.
Lots of game to go, guys. Buckle in. Echo.
Lost.
Joe might know this one.
Dollhouse.
That's correct. Carolyn Farrell is the character's name.
Okay.
All right, number 17.
Spread Eagle.
For
Joe.
Anastasia Beaverhausen.
Yes, I was hoping I would get this one. Anastasia Beaverhausen is Karen Walker on Will and Grace.
2 points. Nice. Sarah, David Healy.
David Healy.
David Healy.
The Hulk on the Hulk? Just kidding.
Kevin Healy from Roseanne.
Oh, okay.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Tara.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Flynn.
No idea.
Jack Bauer, 24. Joe. Bob Belcher.
As
Bob Belcher.
Oh, Sterling Archer on Archer?
Correct.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sarah. Henry Gale.
Henry Gale?
Yep.
Was he on Lost? I don't know who it is.
Anybody?
I forget his name.
Ben Linus.
Ben. Oh, God.
That was Ben Linus's alias.
All right. Tara.
Yeah.
Victor Nightingale / Larry Braverman.
Alec Baldwin.
No, tragic
from
blunder.
30 Rock. Fuck you.
1 point.
30 Rock. Ugh.
All right. To Joe.
Yeah.
Starbuck.
Kara Thrace on Battlestar Galactica.
2 points. Sarah.
Yep.
Sonny Burnett.
Sonny Burnett. Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed. That was Sonny Crockett on Miami Vice.
2 points.
Nice.
Kill me.
All right. To Tara.
Yeah.
Gordon Tremensko.
I don't know.
Gordon Tremensko.
I don't know. I give up. Alec Baldwin. I don't know.
Tracy Jordan, 30 Rock.
Oh, wow. I don't
remember that.
All right. Here we go for Joe. This is a long one. Many aliases. Die Harder, Felicia Fancy Bottom, Ground Control, Big Head Burton, Fingers, Home Skillet, Ovaltine Jenkins, Knickknack, among many others.
No idea.
That was Burton Guster from Psych.
Do not watch.
All right, here's one for Sarah.
Yep.
Hooper.
Hooper?
Hooper. You do know this one. I'm going to let you give you that hint. You do know
Hooper.
This one.
Hooper.
I'm
sure I do know this one.
That's Sin from Frisky Dingo.
Oh.
Oh, check out Hooper.
Sure.
Smash you.
Matthew Brock from News Radio.
Correct. That was smart Matthew. It's Matthew. Joe. Jeremy Bentham.
Oh, that's also Lost. That's Locke. Locke's alias on Lost.
2 points. Correct. Nice. All right. Here we go. The 30th question for Sarah. Your pseudonym is Flynn.
Flynn. Walter White Jr. on Breaking Bad.
Correct for 2 points.
The name I refuse to use in my recap.
Yeah. Score break time.
It's so much shorter.
Sarah and I are tied with 9 apiece. Joe has 15.
Whoa. Ooh. Joe pulling ahead. Plenty of game, though. Here we go. Are you ready, Tara?
Yes.
Beth Childs. Beth Childs.
Orphan Black.
1 point. Character.
Beth?
Sarah Manning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
Beth
right,
Childs
right,
was the
right,
cop.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Joe. Chuck
yes.
Finley.
You're Chuck not Regular from Chuck?
That's Sam Axe from Burn Notice. Sarah. Oof. Millie Hagan.
Millie Hagen. Or Willie?
Millie with an M.
Millie Hagan.
Like Trouble at the Millie.
Oh, I don't know why I asked. Doesn't help.
That's George Lass from Dead Like Me.
Oh, good show.
Tara.
Yep.
Cheryl Gimple, Carol Gimple, Crystal Gimple, Karina Gimple.
Cheryl Tunt from Archer.
Correct.
Nice.
Joe.
Yes.
Santos L. Helper.
That would be Bart Simpson on The Simpsons.
Correct. Sarah, Danny Baker.
Danny Baker?
Your name's not Danny anymore. It's...
Yeah, it's something else. That's not Baker.
That's Jack Baker from 30 Rock. Too many Jacks.
Okay, his name's not Jack anymore. It's Danny.
Tara?
Yeah.
Brenda Dubois.
Brenda Walsh from 90210.
That took longer than I expected.
Yeah.
Joe. Regina yes. Falange.
Regina Falange is also Phoebe Buffay on Friends.
2 points. Sarah. 13.
Oh. House is the show.
1 point for House.
And, oh, I don't remember her name.
Dr. Remy Hadley.
Probably because that's a stupid name.
Tara.
It is.
Yes.
Johnny Bravo. It's the pseudonym. To what character and on what show?
Brady on the Brady Bunch, the oldest Brady son.
I need a character name, please.
Not Mike.
Hurry up.
Fuck.
Give me one.
I don't know, but it was the Brady Bunch.
It was the Brady Bunch for 1 point. Greg Brady.
Greg!
Joe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kevin.
I don't know.
That's Ben Chang from Community.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah. In keeping with Joe's love of all things.
I probably deserve to get that question. That's fine. Whatever.
Rusty Shackleford.
Rusty Shackleford. Oh, God. Rusty Shackleford. I totally know this one, and I can't think of it. I don't know.
Dale Gribble from King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually didn't know that one.
Tara.
Yep.
Dr. Mantis Toboggan.
No clue.
That's Frank Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Joe. Ron yes. Mexico.
Oh, shit. Okay. In real life, Ron Mexico was the alias of Michael Vick, the quarterback for the Eagles.
Guys,
I'm sure another
door.
TV show co-opted that, and I can't think of what it was.
Bobby Cobb from Cougar Town.
Sure. Yep.
Sarah.
Yep.
Yes.
Hildegard Desmond.
Hildegard Desmond? I don't know.
Henry Desmond, Bosom Buddies. Henry Desmond, Bosom Buddies.
Sure.
Sure.
Sarah has 10, I have 15, Joe has 19.
19. All right. Tara.
Yeah?
Here's your chance to put a couple points on the board.
All right.
Two aliases for you.
Okay.
Lacey LaPlante.
Yep. It's Nancy Botwin from Weeds.
All right. Don't even need the second one. Very good. 2 points. Joe.
Yes.
Burt Macklin.
Burt Macklin is Parks and Recreation. Andy on Parks and Recreation.
2 points. Sarah. Charles Carmichael.
Charles Carmichael. That would be Chuck Bartkowski on Chuck.
Correct for 2 points.
Nice.
Tara.
Yeah.
John Smith.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Doubly so when you find out it's the doctor from Doctor
Who. Cross country groans on that one.
Here's a gimme for Joe, I think. Bay Harbor Butcher.
Dexter Morgan on Dexter.
2 points. Sarah, New York.
New York?
Yep.
I Love New York? Is the show? No.
Oh, okay. Is that the second or whatever she was in?
Okay. Yeah, that was her spinoff.
Yes. Flavor of Love. Yes, okay. Yes,
I hit that too soon. Yes, 1 point there for Sarah.
What is it?
It was Tiffany something or other,
Tiffany
right?
Tiffany Pollard.
Oh, right.
Tiffany Pollard, yep.
Okay, yep.
Tara?
Yeah.
Don Antonio. Don Antonio. Gonna need an answer.
Is that one Weeds too? I don't know.
Sarah? Do you know this one? When I say
really
Sarah, do you know this
pseudonym?
One? You know it's about Sopranos.
Yeah, I just didn't know that was
it's
really
Tony.
A pseudonym. Okay.
Oh.
Joe. Johnny Fairplay.
Oh, what was his name? Johnny Fairplay, by the way, he ended up marrying Michelle from that episode of Top Model we watched.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. I believe his name is John Dalton from Survivor.
Wow.
Fuck.
Wow.
Yep.
Nicely done.
Get out.
Yep. He's from Survivor. Joe, you don't need to name it, but do you remember which one?
Survivor Pearl Islands.
Nice.
Wow. Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Get out.
All right. Sarah.
Yes.
Parvati Wasatch. Parvati Wasatch.
Parvati.
I know she's from Survivor. I don't know which season, and
wait,
I don't know.
Am I saying
really.
That right? Parvati.
Yeah, you're saying it correctly. Probst always says it poverty, which is not correct. I don't know her real name. She's from Survivor.
Janet Soprano, The Sopranos.
Oh, that Parvati.
I think Survivor Parvati might really be named Parvati.
Yep. Oh, wow. That's unfortunate.
Parvati Shallow. Sorry, I can name a lot of Survivor names and I won't do it right now.
Shallow? That's right. Oh, my God.
For
anyway,
Tara?
Sorry. Yes. Moving on.
Agent Michael Skarn.
Michael Scott from The Office.
2 points. Over to Joe. Max Power.
Max Power. Homer Simpson on The Simpsons.
2 points. Sarah. Shirley Wolfe.
Shirley Wolfe.
Mm-hmm.
Laverne and Shirley? Okay.
Maybe Funke, Arrested Development.
Oh, right.
Tara.
Of course.
Yeah.
Barnaby Jones.
Xander Cruz from Frisky Dingo.
2 points. Joe.
Yes.
George Mueller.
Oh, shit. What was George? Oh, no. George Mueller.
You know the show?
It was, Boardwalk Empire.
Character?
And it was Nelson Van Alden.
Correct.
Yeah.
Sarah. Alias. Stringer.
Stringer.
Yeah.
The Wire.
Yep.
Character? And I mean, it's Stringer Bell, but I don't know what his real first name was.
1 point. Russell Bell was the character's name.
Russell
Bell. All right. We are in need of a score break.
Okay. Sarah has 14. I have 16. Joe has 29.
Wow.
Yeah.
Joe killed this game.
All right. Well, that was our last score break till the end. I think Joe may have mathematically clinched it.
I believe so.
I'm not sure. Maybe if Joe answers all of them wrong and somehow says something like super racist, we have to take points off, maybe? I don't know. Just keep it in mind, Joe, if you want to make it interesting.
I could still die before the end of this podcast. Yeah. You know. So.
All right. So, Tara.
Yeah.
Julius Pepperwood.
Nick Miller on New Girl.
Nice. Joe.
Yes.
Annabelle Bronstein.
Don't know.
Samantha Jones, Sex in the City.
Oh, really?
Sarah. Robin Sparkles.
It's How I Met Your Mother. I don't know her actual name.
1 point.
Robin Scherbatsky.
That's correct. Tara?
Yeah.
Rudy Cooper.
I don't know.
That's Brian Moser from Dexter.
Never would have
Joe,
had that.
Art yes. Vandelay.
Art Vandelay, George Costanza on The Simpsons. Or on Seinfeld. The Simpsons. That's ridiculous.
We'll give you that. You corrected yourself pretty quick. I just want to say, because I think Sarah's getting super screwed on the order of these questions, that they are randomized before we find out who goes first. You're getting all the, like, the majority of the hard ones, Sarah. So
I got Sonny Burnett.
Except for this one, Sarah. Except for this one. Heisenberg.
Walter White Sr. on Breaking Bad.
Correct. For Tara,
yep.
Cletus Van Damme.
You're not going to get it. I don't know.
Anybody want this one?
No.
Shane from The Shield.
Nope.
Shane from The Shield.
All right. Never watched The Shield.
Joe.
Yes.
We got four aliases for you.
Okay.
Neil Caffrey, Nicholas Hayden, Danny Brooks, George DeVore.
Wait, Neil Caffrey is an alien? Is this White Collar?
Character name?
I don't know what his real name is, then.
Whoops, sorry, that is not his... I don't know what his real name is, in fact, not his real name.
They've said his real name, but I can't remember.
Neil Bennett.
Oh, right.
Neil Bennett.
Oh,
yeah. All right, each see. Sarah. Venus Flytrap.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
That's Gordon Sims, which you shouldn't know, but that's WKRP in Cincinnati.
Okay.
He's Tim Reed, the DJ? No?
She doesn't like sitcoms.
Okay. All right. Especially everybody's got two questions left. Tara.
Yeah.
Duke Silver.
Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation.
That's correct for 2 points. Joe.
Yes.
Here's another one with lots of them for you. Larry Tilbert. Frank Conway. Jerry Little, Adrian Melville, and Frank De Palma.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't know any of those.
Adrian Monk from Monk.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why I didn't know any of those.
Sarah.
Yep.
The alias is Sylar.
Heroes is the show. Don't remember the character's name.
Gabriel Gray was the character's name.
Wow.
All right. Tara, your last one.
Yep.
Don Draper.
Dick Whitman from Mad Men.
Correct. 2 points. Joe, your last question.
Yes.
Big Cheddar.
Oh, sounds familiar. Big Cheddar.
I can't pull it. Shirley from Community. That was Shirley from Community. And finally for Sarah, your last question. Two aliases, Scott Berman and Clark.
Scott Berman and Clark?
Correct. Just Clark. Good old Clark.
Smallville. Okay. I don't
fucking
know.
Clark.
Joe fucking Clark.
Fucking Clark. That was Philip Jennings, although that is actually the... I suppose an alias too, yeah. From The Americans. All right, let's get our final score.
Sarah had 18, I had 27, and Joe Reed had 32.
Holy Woo! Cow. Nice. Joe.
Joe.
For Shits and Giggles, Seymour Skinner. Yes.
Armin Tamzarian.
Armin Tamzarian.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Congratulations, Joe. That was
nicely done.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. I dedicate this win to Anastasia Bieberhausen.
Well, that's it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We asked each other if we were buffed for Survivor and discussed the state of reality TV and what makes a good competition show. Joe asked us the important question, are bro shows worse than jazz? And Dracula stopped by to answer a few questions about his new show at NBC. Thank you. Tara successfully pitched America's Next Top Model, infamous The Girl Who Pushes Tyra Over the Edge for the Canon.
Yep.
We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Joe was the winner of this week's Game Time. We need your Canon submissions, folks. Learn how to submit on the site. Just click on the More button at the top of the site and hit Extra Hot Great Info. All the information is there. Questions, comments, hit us up in the comments on the site, plus Twitter and Facebook at Previously TV, and use the hashtag EHG. Don't forget, Extra Hot Great Minis hit every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. Remember,
We're listening.
I am David T. Cole on behalf of Tara Ariano.
Make it work.
Joe Reed.
Tyra Mail.
Sarah T. Bunting.
The tribe has spoken.
And Dracula. Blah. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Great.
And we have to, like, make it look like we don't have a tooth.